Hey, it's Becca.
It's Nancy.
It's Brixie.
And this is
Insane Investigations.
Hey, investigators.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for listening. Today it's just me and Brixie. We have no Nancy, so
we miss her.
Sad times. We will miss her, but don't worry, she will be back for the next episode.
She's not gone forever.
No, definitely not. We wouldn't allow that.
No, absolutely not.
So today we are going to be covering the case of Chris Benoit.
Yes, Benoit.
Said it right.
Courtesy of Alan, we were at a bit of a block as to what to cover, so I asked him, and it was his suggestion. And yeah, good timing, because it was the Royal Rumble at the weekend. It might not have been this weekend gone, depending on when this is edited and released, but it was recently the Royal Rumble, and we have WrestleMania coming up, so Chris Benoit is a sensible episode to pick right now.
Definitely. And if you're like me and know absolutely nothing about wrestling and you're like, who the fuck is Chris Benoit? That's what I was thinking too. But if you look on our Instagram and see a picture of him, you probably know who he is, because that's what happened to me. Because Brixie was like, we'll do Chris Benoit. And I was like, yeah. And then when I looked him up, I was like, oh, that dude.
Yeah.
So if you don't know who he is, check out our Instagram and see if maybe you recognize him. We also just wanted to say before we jump into the case that we hope you're enjoying our daily stories on Instagram. We are trying to be as active as possible, and thanks to Brixie, she's posting them every day. So we hope that you're enjoying them. If you haven't seen them yet, make sure you go to our Instagram and have a look. They're there every day. So I think we can just jump straight into
dive straight in. Yeah, and again, thank you to Alan for the wrestling knowledge. He's been a big wrestling fan since he was a kid. He used to watch it with his mum. So, yeah, a lot of this research is courtesy of Alan.
Yes,
cheers, babe.
Thank you so much, Alan. And thank God for Alan, because when I was first reading about all this, again, I know nothing about wrestling and I couldn't make any sense of it. And then when I looked at Alan's notes, I was like, that's what that means. So, thanks, Alan.
So, anyway, Christopher Michael Benoit was born on the 21st of May, 1967, in Montreal, Quebec, to parents Michael and Margaret Benoit, who then went on to raise Chris in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Chris was interested in wrestling from a very young age and was determined to become a professional wrestler. So he started very strict and serious weightlifting and exercise regimen. When he was around 12 to 13, he had begun breaking weightlifting records. Like, I couldn't lift anything at 12 or 13. I used to try and avoid doing PE.
I can't lift anything now. There's weights out in my back garden and they're like 3 kg and I can't lift them up without struggling.
Yeah, so yeah, strong 12 or 13 year old kid. And it was around that time that he came across Thomas Billington, aka Dynamite Kid, who was performing at the Edmonton Pavilion. From that moment on, Dynamite Kid became Chris's idol. Chris Benoit once said, "I just idolized him. We had backyard wrestling matches, or I would be in my room, kicking my bed, trying to clone him. I remember how he and Bret Hart stood out above everyone else."
So Chris started his career in Stu Hart's Stampede Wrestling, that's a mouthful, in 1985, and went on to win several titles before they closed their doors in 1989, which, that's a very short period of time. And he seems to have won multiple titles, so...
Yeah.
While performing for Stampede Wrestling, Chris used his first nickname, Dynamite Chris Benoit. Very original. One of his signature moves was one that he took from, guess who, Dynamite Kid. And it was called the Diving Headbutt. That's really important to remember later on. Dynamite Kid took the move from Harley Race, who later regretted inventing the move due to the damage it did, particularly to Dynamite, who later ended up in a wheelchair due to the move. Harley Race advised everybody not to do the move because of the damage it did to his brain and spine. That's scary.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was a kid, I used to think that, like, wrestling was real. And it was only when I was a very embarrassing age, when I was, like, 14 or something, I was like, wait, that's not real. And then I was like, how are all these people getting so injured voluntarily? Like, it's not even a real fight. It's all a performance and they're all fucked.
Yeah, but, like, even though, like, the fight's not technically real, they all know who's gonna win and it's choreographed and stuff, it still puts damage on the body, like...
Yeah, you can't really fake boxing the head off somebody.
No, and, like, even, like, when they're jumping from the ropes and slamming down on someone, they've got a safe way of doing that, but it's still gonna cause damage. And there's loads of wrestlers that's had, like, some... serious injuries and deaths. So yeah, so it's not real, but it is real.
Yeah, I get what you mean. It's like, yeah, it's not a real fight. Like, everything that they do is planned out, but they're still, realistically, they're wrestling each other regardless of if it's planned or not.
Yeah, it's still, there's still risk involved. So when Stu Hart's Stampede Wrestling closed, Chris travelled to Japan to train in the New Japan Wrestling. Loads of wrestlers go over to Japan, or they start off, like, in Japan before going over to the bigger...
That's mad.
...things. It's really big in Japan. Wrestling's, I had no idea. Like, huge over there.
I thought, like, some, like, martial arts and stuff would come from Japan, but I was actually really surprised when I read that it's, like, a big hotspot for wrestling.
Yeah.
I always thought that it was a very American thing, so I was like... Oh, Japan.
Yeah, really massive over there. So Chris spent a year training in the New Japan Dojo, which was very physically grueling and mentally intense. He adopted a mask and became the Pegasus Kid before losing the mask some years later and reinventing it himself as Wild Pegasus.
What a name.
I know, right?
I think if I was a wrestler, I'd want Pegasus in there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's cute. I'm sure it wasn't supposed to be cute, but it's cute.
It doesn't exactly instill fear.
No, definitely.
I just think of, like, the Disney movie Hercules.
Even his little mask was so cute with the little Pegasus wings coming out.
Yeah.
I was like, that's adorable. You wouldn't think that he was getting ready to, like, beat somebody up.
No, no. So he had a successful career in Japan, winning several different championships and tournaments. By 1994, he had caught the attention of Extreme Championship Wrestling, aka ECW, head honcho Paul Heyman, who brought Benoit over to America to be one of his main stars in this new promotion. It was in ECW that Chris earned the nickname Crippler, after accidentally injuring Rocco Rock and more seriously breaking Sabu's neck.
Jeez. I mean, I get the nickname. It definitely sounds more like a wrestling nickname.
Yeah.
Crippler. But you'd think somebody would be like, okay, time for you to stop now.
He was a good technical wrestler, though. So,
yeah.
But just go show, like, what happens if, like...
You mess it up.
You mess up. And actually, Chris Jericho was saying in Dark Side of the Ring that after Benoit messed up a move in a match, like, not injuring anyone, but he didn't land it right or whatever, he was so hard on himself, he went and punished himself for messing up that move by doing 500 squats.
Oh my god.
So that's the, like, the kind of mentality Benoit had. Like, if he messed up, he felt the need to punish himself for it.
500 squats.
500 squats. I can't do 5 squats.
I was gonna say, if I do 5 squats, that's my legs done for 2 days.
Do you remember that time when I was overconfident in the gym and doing squats? I couldn't walk for 3 days. Literally. Everyone kept asking me what was wrong with me. And I was just like, I was just overconfident in the gym and thought I could do squats properly, and I can't.
You were proper injured, like limping.
Literally. Like, trying to, like, sit and stand, like.
And we worked in such a big office. So everything is so far away.
Yeah, I remember having to go down to IT whilst limping along.
Do you remember when I was on crutches and Corey started wheeling me around the office in an office chair?
That was me in my house when I hurt my ankle at Christmas.
Yeah, Alan just wheeling you around.
Yeah, pretty much. We needed to get me downstairs to get to the car, so.
Thanks, Alan and Corey, for wheeling us around when we couldn't walk.
Yep. So Benoit was then scheduled to win the ECW World title in a match featuring his good friend Eddie Guerrero, but Paul Heyman unfortunately didn't renew Benoit's US visa in time, so he had to go back to Japan gutting.
Yeah. I thought it was mad that he went back to Japan as well instead of just going back to Canada. I guess to keep up the wrestling.
Keep the work. Yeah, keep working.
But it wouldn't be long before he would find himself back in America when he signed up for World Championship Wrestling, aka WCW. I was shocked at all these things. I always just thought it was just WWE. That was it. So when I was seeing all this WCW and ECW, I was like, what is all this?
Yeah, there's loads of them.
So he would soon find himself invited to become part of the legendary wrestling group known as the Four Horsemen, with Arn Anderson, Brian Pillman, and the legendary Ric Flair.
Woo!
Obviously Briggsy's a fan.
Not really, I find him annoying. But the wrestling fans will understand that.
Okay. One of the feuds the Horsemen would find themselves in was against the Dungeon of Doom. Initially, the feud was headlined by Brian Pillman squaring off against the Dungeon's leader, Kevin Sullivan. However, when Pillman unexpectedly left for the WWF, he was replaced by Benoit. I've no idea what the WWF is. I looked it up, but the only results I got was for Worldwide Wildlife Fund. So unless Pillman went to be with the pandas, I'm going to assume it's a wrestling thing.
WWF was the precursor to WWE, and the reason why they had to change to WWE was because of a copyright infringement, or they got sued by the World Wildlife Fund. Basically, WWF and WWE are the same company, but they had to change the name.
Okay, good. Because yeah. When I seen that, I looked it up and I was scrolling and I was like, did this fella just go to be with the pandas? Like,
I actually, someone, can't remember if Alan got this as a gift or he gave it to someone else as a gift, but it was a panda, like a wrestling panda, essentially. It was really funny. But yeah, it was World Wrestling Federation and they changed to World Wrestling Entertainment.
Good to know. The pandas won the wrestlers.
The pandas won.
I know it's more than just pandas. There was just a lot of pictures of pandas when I was looking through them. So
that's their logo, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was while he was in the WWF that he met Nancy Sullivan.
So Chris was performing during a match with the Public Enemy. They were a tag team made up of Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge. Another wrestler named Kevin Sullivan reluctantly joined forces with Chris Benoit to take on the Public Enemy. It ended with the Public Enemy winning and Taskmaster attacking the Canadian Crippler.
These names, I love them.
They're brilliant, aren't they? Yeah. This only made matters between Kevin and Chris more tense before WCW's head booker booked Chris to have an affair with Kevin's wife and on-screen valet, Nancy Sullivan.
That's crazy. Imagine somebody just being like, okay, your wife is with him now.
That was the storyline. It was like, okay, so how can we make this feud work? Well, now Benoit's going to have an affair with your real-life wife, essentially.
Your actual wife, yeah.
Yep.
So the pair would have to attend events together and hold hands. They'd have to share hotel rooms and basically just keep up the facade that they were a couple. Eventually, the on-screen relationship turned to an off-screen one as well, which was pretty complicated. As we already mentioned, Nancy was married to Kevin, but Chris was also married to a woman named Martina Benoit, and they had two children together, Megan and David. According to Chris, him and Kevin continued to have a strained relationship as they continued to perform together, although he did mention that the pair managed to be somewhat civil, despite that Kevin blamed him for the end of his marriage. This lasted for over a year, with Sullivan dispatching several of his enforcers to try to take out Benoit. It all culminated in a retirement match at Bash at the Beach 1997, which Sullivan lost in an attempt to explain away his disappearance into a behind-the-scenes role. This story has become something of a legend among wrestling fans, and on February 25th, 2000, 8 days after I was born, Nancy and Chris welcomed their son, Daniel Benoit, to the world.
Benoit went on to have a great success in WCW, winning nearly every title available to him. However, both he and a number of other WCW talents would grow sick of the backstage politics that they felt were affecting their career. In particular, they felt disrespected by older wrestlers who would not get out of the way for the next generation. And also the perception that because they were smaller wrestlers, they were not as popular with the audience as the physically bigger wrestlers. What Kevin Nash would describe as vanilla midgets.
What a brilliant phrase.
But like, even though like Benoit was classed as one of the smaller wrestlers, he wasn't a small guy.
No, he was huge.
Yeah. So,
like, anytime you see any wrestler, like I've seen a lot of pictures of different wrestlers because of my job, and they always look like they're about to explode out of their skin. Yeah. Even the ones that are smaller than others, they all still look like they're just gonna pop.
Yeah.
It scares me a little bit.
There's a bit of variety in the physiques these days.
Yeah. Literally the only wrestler I know is John Cena. It's literally the only one I know, and that's just because when I was a kid, everybody used to go around going, "You can't see me."
Me and Alan are very happy about CM Punk returning to WWE. That's our favourite.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
CM Punk.
In a last-ditch attempt to get Benoit to stay, the company attempted to make him their world champion. Their efforts failed, though, and Benoit, along with Dean Malenko, Perry Saturn, and Eddie Guerrero, would leave for the WWF, later WWE.
See, when I was reading this, I was like, Jesus, they're all just going to be with the pandas.
Yeah.
I mean, just, after a career like that, it's probably best to just go and chill with some pandas.
Cuddle some pandas.
Yeah. Once again, Benoit would find a great deal of success with his hard-hitting technical style of wrestling, winning over WWF/WWE fans. Some of the matches he would be involved in with superstars such as Kurt Angle, Edge, and Eddie Guerrero. Undoubtedly, the high point of his WWE career, and possibly his wrestling career in general, came in 2004 at WrestleMania 20, where he won the World Heavyweight Championship by defeating Triple H and Shawn Michaels. The show closed with Chris Benoit celebrating in the ring with one of his best friends, Eddie Guerrero, who had successfully defended his own World Championship earlier that night. Benoit's career would not hit the same heights again. Tragically, Eddie Guerrero would pass away 18 months later at the age of 38 from a heart attack. The death profoundly affected Benoit, who paid an emotional tribute to his friends on the television show that followed Eddie's death. In 2007, Benoit would again find himself in ECW. This incarnation, however, wasn't the same upstart company as 12 years previous. It served as something of a training ground for up-and-coming wrestlers before they moved on to either of the WWE's main promotions. This wasn't an insult to Benoit, but a show in faith to mentor young talent. On June 24, 2007, Chris was going to be wrestling CM Punk for the ECW World Championship. However, he would never make it.
On June 24th, 2007, Chris Benoit was scheduled to appear at a pay-per-view fight called Vengeance Night of Champions in Houston, Texas, where he was expected to win the Extreme Championship Wrestling World Championship. Chris never showed up to the fight, and that same day, his friend Chavo Guerrero, who was the nephew of Eddie Guerrero, received a strange message from the wrestler. Benoit had written, "The dogs are in the enclosed pool area and the back door is open," and texted Guerrero his address. Initially, Guerrero was not alarmed by the message, but when he noticed that Chris didn't show up to the fight, his concerns began to grow. Guerrero then alerted WWE authorities, and from there, they called the police. Police went to Chris's home, which he shared with Nancy and his 7-year-old son Daniel. When police arrived, they were met with a disturbing scene. All three were dead.
So, a tiny bit of a trigger warning. It's not too gory or anything super crazy, but I am just going to quickly go into the details of how the three of them were found. And there is kind of an insinuation of suicide, so if you do want to skip past, just skip over a couple of minutes. So, Nancy was found with her hands and feet tied and with blood under her head. Daniel was found in bed, and Chris was hanging from a weight machine cable in his home gym. Both Nancy and Daniel were found with Bibles next to their body. Very soon after they were found, investigators determined that Chris had strangled Nancy in a rage before giving Xanax to Daniel and smothering him. After killing Nancy and Daniel, investigators believed that he then killed himself. When they looked further into the theory, they came across some disturbing searches in his internet history. Before killing himself, Chris had looked for stories about the prophet Elijah, who once raised a boy from the dead. Then Benoit searched for the easiest way a person could break their neck.
Before all of these details came to light, all WWE knew was that the three of them were dead. They hadn't got the details of the murder-suicide yet. They actually did like a whole tribute episode to Chris Benoit, and all of the wrestlers talking about how great of a guy he was and all of this. And then the next day, obviously, found out more
and then
information, and it looked very distasteful.
Yeah. I mean, somebody probably should have mentioned it to them at some point, because that's what you're going to do. Like, if somebody that's famous is on your show and they're well known and they're supposed to be there and then they're not there and it's because they're dead, you're obviously going to do a whole big memorial tribute for them, or a tribute for them. So I don't know, I think like maybe don't like spread it across the nation, but maybe let somebody in the WWE know, maybe don't do that.
Yeah. So they talked about that on Dark Side of the Ring. So if anyone wants to go and watch that, the Chris Benoit episode is season 2, episode 1 and 2, but like there's loads of mad stuff that went on. There's the whole Von Erichs situation, for those wrestling fans who know what I'm on about. Basically, like, a whole family of wrestlers all ended up dead, essentially, in different ways.
Yeah.
It's like a curse. But yeah, Dark Side of the Ring, really interesting watch if you're a wrestling fan. Actually, it's interesting even if you're not a wrestling fan, because I wouldn't class myself as a very big wrestling fan, but I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but I plan to watch it. And again, I know, zilch.
Yeah.
We'll pop a link in the episode description if we can find one to the entire episode. If not, I'll just pop a few clips from YouTube.
So obviously, Chris had been a public figure and people were questioning why he would do such a horrific thing. As it turns out, Chris's autopsy revealed that his brain was severely damaged and he had 10 times the amount of testosterone than the average male. His heart was also very enlarged. Doctors actually mentioned that had he not died, the enlargement in his heart would have killed him eventually. Enlarged hearts and too much testosterone is very common among people who abuse steroids and growth hormones. When Chris's tox screen was released to the media, people jumped to the conclusion that he had committed these murders in a roid rage. However, as much as that makes sense without all the details, there are some deeper facts that make this theory seem a little far-fetched. Dr. Julian Bales of West Virginia University's Health and Science Center said, "This was a murder-suicide spree that lasted over, I believe, a 3-day weekend. I don't think that roid rage, which is believed to be a snap judgment in emotions or actions, I don't think this is what explains Chris's behavior."
Yeah, like when I first found out about the testosterone and his enlarged hair, I was like, oh, it must have been all the steroids. But it does make sense that if it happened over like a period of several hours, it can't, like, it can't really be to do with the steroids, because as the doctor said, yeah, like, it has to be
in the moment. It's a snap judgment.
Yeah,
this was like, he was making searches on his computer. It was like calculated.
Yeah, definitely, I'd say it was premeditated.
Yeah.
Chris's brain had been so severely damaged after years of blows to the head that his brain resembled the brain of an 8-year-old Alzheimer's patient. Dr. Bales, who Briggsy mentioned a few minutes ago, said that it's still one of the worst cases he's seen. Some of Chris's friends said that he had been different in the weeks leading to his death. He had lost a fellow wrestler who we spoke about earlier, Eddie Guerrero, who had passed suddenly, and Chris had been quite depressed since Eddie had died, and his friends noticed that he had begun to exhibit odd behavior. Pro wrestler Chris Jericho and Nancy's sister recalled that he would disappear for weeks on end and that he seemed paranoid, and apparently he was like driving all different routes to places because he thought he was getting followed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you do end up looking into this case, instead of saying like brain damage or anything like that, a lot of people mention CTE, which is chronic traumatic encephalopathy. I think I'm saying that last word right. And it's basically just when somebody has suffered so many blows to the head or injuries to the head that it slowly progresses into dementia. So if you hear people saying CTE, they're just referring to his brain damage, basically.
Yep. Some people believe that Kevin Sullivan may have been behind all three deaths. The theory is that he still held a grudge against Chris for destroying his marriage and spent a decade scheming his master plan. Apparently, Kevin had previously played a character that was a Satanist, so he murdered all three of them and pinned it on Chris. WWE refused to acknowledge that Chris's wrestling career had led to his death, but CTE is something that's common with head blows.
I'd say a lot of wrestlers have it.
Probably. If you want to know more about CTE, there's a film called Concussion that's got Will Smith in it. If you're not much of a reader like me, go watch that film. It'll explain it. WWE spokesperson said someone with the brain of an 85-year-old with dementia would be unable to keep a traveling work schedule, drive himself to arenas, and perform intricate maneuvers in the ring, much less commit a methodical murder-suicide over a 48-hour period. WWE then removed all evidence that Chris was a part of the organization. So, DVDs and historical references, for example. If they're talking about a match that he was involved in, they'll name the other wrestlers and just go, yeah, and the other guy.
Yeah.
They will not speak his name.
No, he's nowhere to be seen on their website or anything like that. Like,
no, just... he's erased. Yeah. WWE are pretty good at doing that. They erased Hulk Hogan for a bit for some views. But Hulk Hogan's weren't as bad as murder-suicide, so he's allowed to talk again now. He exists again.
I don't think Chris Benoit will ever exist again.
No, he won't exist in the WWE universe. According to Pro Wrestling Stories and Sports Keeda, WWE then implemented a no chair shots to the head rule, brought in doctors to supervise matches, and started conducting more thorough drug testing.
Yeah. It's good that they, like, took on board.
It wasn't our fault, but we'll make some amendments anyway. We're not going to admit liability, but just in case, let's just tweak the rules.
Yeah, like, it wasn't us, but we're going to change the rules so it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was kind of thinking, like, that's a bit fucked up. But on the other hand, at least they did something and they took measures to try to make sure that shit like this doesn't keep happening. So probably should have taken some liability, but fair play for doing something.
Yeah.
As much as WWE kind of swept the whole issue under the rug, Chris's death seems to have changed wrestling for the better. He is seen as a villain in the wrestling world now.
Mm-hmm.
if he's, as we said, they don't really mention him, but if he gets mentioned, he's like this terribly bad guy, and that's kind of how they play it off. Deadspin, a sports blog, even called him the Lord Voldemort of wrestling, which I was so happy about that, because that was the first reference I got throughout all the research on this.
Let's not go down another Harry Potter tangent.
No, definitely not, but I was just grateful for that reference. And they also said that if anybody should be honoured as a wrestling great in this situation, that it would be Nancy Benoit, as she had her own 13-year-long wrestling career, and she was the victim.
Yep.
So, Mike Benoit, Chris's father, told ABC News that the pro wrestling industry had been to blame for Chris, Nancy, and Daniel's death. And we're going to close it all up on a quote from Chris's dad. He said, "I think if Chris Benoit had been anything other than a professional wrestler, he would still be alive. I would like people to have an understanding that the tragedy that took place in 2007 happened because of his career choice."
I think that's an important note to leave off as well, that it was like because of his career choice. Like,
yeah. I agree with it to a certain extent. If he hadn't have been a pro wrestler, he wouldn't have gotten all those injuries. But at the same time, he had severe symptoms of depression and paranoia. He had to have known something wasn't right, and he didn't do anything about it.
And it was the diving headbutts that were the issue. It was the move that he decided to take from Dynamite Kid that was causing the brain damage. And, like, wrestlers had some idea of the kind of damage they were doing to their heads with these moves back then.
Yeah, of course. Like, anybody with common sense is gonna know. I don't even know what a diving headbutt is, but it sounds like you're gonna smack your head off something. So it's probably not a great idea.
Yeah. Other people's skulls are hard.
Yeah.
You smacking your skull off of someone else's skull is gonna rattle the brain.
Yeah. Probably more yours than theirs, because you have all this force and you're still getting an impact.
Yeah.
It's not a great idea. Really not a great idea.
No. No. There were mixed opinions in the wrestling world. Jericho on Dark Side of the Ring was basically like, if you think I'm sympathizing with a murderer, then stop watching now. This isn't for you. Because he still holds Benoit in quite high esteem. Paul Heyman, on the other hand, was like, I loosely quoting him, basically saying, as a performer, excellent. One of the top five wrestlers he's seen in his entire life. But as a person, CTE isn't an excuse. There was three people that died that day. Only one of them had a choice. That was Chris. So fuck him.
That's a very good quote.
That it's loosely quoted. It's not. Yeah.
But he showed me the video. It's pretty much what he said.
Yeah. He went off on a bit of a tangent in the middle, but yeah.
Yeah, like, the empath in me wants to feel for him because he was obviously a very, very sick man. But at the same time, like everybody said, he did make a choice, and he might have been fucked up in the head, but at the end of the day, he made a choice not to get help when he knew that there was something wrong.
Yeah.
So, as much as people are saying it's not his fault, like, it kind of is. Like, if there's something wrong and people are clearly noticing it and they're saying it to you, you need to do something about it before you go and kill your family.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, I don't know, but
that's the case of Chris Benoit. Bit of a different one for us.
Yeah, and do you know, I feel like this one was so much lighter because
90% of it was about wrestling.
90% of it was about wrestling, and I feel like we've done so many kid cases lately. We need a break. From kids. Well,
there's kind of a kid in this. There was a kid in this one,
but I mean, like, JonBenet Ramsey was just so horrific.
Yeah. Ted Bundy. Just everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one was a little bit lighter.
Bit more lighthearted. Still a murder, but more lighthearted than what we've been talking about recently. So,
yeah.
Nice little palate cleanser.
If those exist in the true crime world.
Yeah, it's the best we're going to get, so.
Yeah, Yeah, maybe we need like a paranormal one next, so it's less real.
I think so. I think maybe we'll do like an Irish paranormal case next time, because we haven't done that in Irish in a while, and yeah, something lighthearted, definitely.
Yeah.
But we hope you enjoyed the episode, and we hope that you miss Nancy as much as we did.
It wasn't the same without her.
It wasn't the same without her. But don't worry, the gang will be back together in our next episode. And if you just miss us so much in the meantime, just go onto our Instagram and look at all of our stories that we're putting up every day, because we're being consistent at something at least. So thank you so much for listening, and I'm not going to do the usual spiel, but please follow us on Spotify and all of our socials. You must know the names by now, so I'm not going to list them all off. But thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Bye!